Welcome to the Sportscast, November 18th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, and also Apple Podcasts. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. And we're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us 24/7 on Alexa. And go to our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest. And of course, you could download our app for iOS. On the eve of the 22 World Cup, it is here. And the final prediction show is here. Of course, we have Francisco Flores, which he's having technical issues. And we'll be predicting each group of what's going to happen. And hopefully, we'll see who is the winner of each group and whatnot. Francisco Flores, all the way in, Oregon. Of course, he's dealing with computer technical issues. Welcome.
Am I back?
To Sportscast. Yeah, you're back, Francisco.
What a way to start. As soon as you start the music, the tone, it just shuts off for no reason. I've got at least 30% battery. I don't know what's going on.
But okay, good. I thought it was a whole restream. So it's Friday. It's 2 days ahead of the World Cup. Qatar and FIFA said this morning they will not be having alcohol in the stadiums. I believe they'll be having alcohol in the fan zones, but it's kind of a rocky pre-World Cup for some fans.
Oh, yeah. If I had a ticket, I would sell.
I lost your volume. Oh, there it is.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I can hear you now.
Let me make sure the mic is set up.
Okay. Well, yeah. So,
yep, it's good.
If people don't know, this morning, Qatar, well, for the past couple of years, they've said Qatar will allow alcohol in the stadiums. Actually, I believe they were going back and forth with it. And then they came into a final decision recently, and then they flopped this morning, Francisco.
Yeah, they're going to flip and flop on all the decisions they made, including, like, they promised that the World Cup, when they first made the bid for it, that it was going to be held in the summer, and immediately after it, Cup. So you can't trust anything they say. And like I was saying, if I had a ticket, I would sell it and turn around and come back and just enjoy it from home, because I think that's going to be the best way to watch this World Cup this year.
Yeah, whoever booked the flight or hotel there is going to be – I've been hearing, you know, some journalists getting followed, or they've been telling them not to take pictures in certain, like, places. So it's kind of interesting. It's a very you can say it's a authoritarian country, so it's going to be a little bit complex for some people from the Western hemisphere, I guess you can say. So we'll see what happens. But I'm focused on the game, the groups, who is going to be champions of the world. So right in the middle of the season, for the regular season, the Premier League, they released their players and they stopped the season about a week ago. But Francisco, how are you feeling so far pre-World Cup?
Overall about the World Cup or specific?
No, like, how are you feeling right now? I mean, are you feeling pumped? Are you feeling like, wow, this is going to be like another 1998 World Cup? How are you feeling?
I'm kind of, as far as the game, the players are going to show up to the field and give us some good games. Thing that's going on around the World Cup, like all the things with the people are under, you know, because they have to, like, set everything that's going on around the World Cup is kind of creating more noise. So I just want people to focus on the game. Like, the first game is Sunday. Like, let's just talk about the game finally for once. I feel like everyone's just talking about everything that's going on about Qatar. All right, it's 2 days away. It's going to happen, so let's just move on.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be having full coverage here on the Sportscast. We have analysts throughout the week. We'll have Francisco every Friday, and we'll have Asa Smith every Monday. Jaime will also be here every Wednesday, but he will split it with Hal Phillips. He is the author of the book of how U.S. soccer really started and like how things came to be. Let's go into the groups. Group A, it begins this Sunday, Qatar versus Ecuador, then Senegal, Netherlands. Francisco, tell us about this group and who do you think will come out in the who will come out on top in the top two?
And that'll be Netherlands first, Ecuador second. I see it as a pretty easy group for the Netherlands to, you know, go 3-0 for the next round. Senegal with that tough loss of Sadio competing with Qatar for that fourth place. and then Ecuador, very competitive squad, physical team. So I think they'll fight for some. That'll be as far as they get.
Francisco, your audio is going off and on, so I'm not sure what you can do on your end. But my prediction for Group A is definitely going to be Holland, the Netherlands. And my second place will probably be Ecuador. Now that Mane is out of the World Cup for Senegal, that definitely helps out a lot with Ecuador. Now, Qatar, they've had a good presence in the Gold Cup. They were in the Gold Cup last year and some other tournaments. So they've done their homework, but I think they'll finish third. So there.
Maybe disabling the camera make it better?
Maybe. We'll find out.
What it is?
That works. So that works better if the camera's off. Yeah, it's fine.
I have a webcam that's hooked up, so maybe if I just put the regular camera on, maybe that'll work. But is it working now? Is it still cutting
out?
Yeah,
your audio has been smooth so far. So
okay, let's try that and see.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring it back. Fine. Perfect. So your top two again, because your audio was off a bit for Group A.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go over them. So I went with Netherlands first and Ecuador second, and mainly why I put Ecuador second and not Senegal is because of that injury to Mane. I think he's just such a focal point for that team. Nothing against Senegal. They're the champions of Africa. So, and then there's super tough, you know, qualifying matches for the AFCON and whatnot. So they had a pretty good fight, you know, to get in this, and they weren't just going to make it not just any team was going to make it out of AFCON. So I do think they have a lot of fight in them. But I just think Ecuador is going to – has a lot more fight in them than Senegal. And I think with Mane mainly being the biggest factor, I think that's going to – they're just going to be thinking about it the whole game. Like, oh, we wish we had Mane here to score a goal.
Yeah, and Senegal was a favorite from Africa to win. Well, not to win the World Cup, but to go deep in the World Cup, how Ghana did in the past, or Nigeria, or even Cameroon. So this Mane injury is going to be a big, huge loss. Now, Qatar, most host nations, Francisco, some do well. Some could go into the top four, like Korea, or some could bow out, like South Africa, in the first round, but you really think Qatar will not make it out?
No, I don't see anything in their team that's going to even give me anything close to like an upset of any sorts. Like, I don't think that they have it in them.
Yeah, we'll see
not
what happens.
Not competitive enough for me.
So we agree Netherlands and Ecuador will get it out of Group A. All right, Group B, which is a very important group for me, not so much for Francisco, but it's going to be interesting. I've been hearing different mixed reviews with this group. England, Iran, USA, and Wales. Francisco, your thoughts over this group and who will come out in the top two?
All right. For this one, I'll start with the picks again. obviously England first. I don't think there's any question about that, regardless of, you know, they've been winless in their last six games leading up to the Nations League games. And I just think that it's just, you know, a lot of preparation for them. I think Gareth Southgate wants to take his time and really, you know, put the best starting 11 for England out there. And I think he just wanted to experiment in every way possible coming into the World Cup. So I don't take that into any negative effect overall as far as in the World Cup. So I think England first without a question. And then I've been actually kind of changing second.
Ooh, drum roll, drum roll.
I've been changing it back and forth, almost on not on the daily, but at first I did have the U.S. going through. And then a couple days ago, I was watching a video or two on other people's predictions and what was going to happen. And then somebody said something about that, you know, Gareth Bale could go 3 months without playing, sit on the bench, and then go in and score a hat trick. So I was like, oh, maybe he'll do that against the U.S. But yeah, it's been flip-flopping. Right now, it's almost like 50-50. I honestly don't know who is going to make it, U.S. or Wales. Iran obviously is out of the question, so I'm not even going to talk about them. They do have, you know, some good players. I think they have Taremi, right, who's a pretty good attacking forward, plays for Porto. But yeah, I just think it's 50-50 for me, honestly, right now. I will probably make a change or two depending on who I have it on my brackets, my online brackets. But let's just go for the U.S. for now.
Francisco is thinking not because I'm here or he lives here, but but it is a tight group. I think it's funny because it feels like a lot of people have been thinking about it more this week. I would say the clear favorite is England. I think I believe there were scoreless six games this past year. So but they made
scoreless,
it
scoreless, winless, something like that. They were just not in good form.
And they won. They made it to the Euro final, but they lost against Italy. So they've been to these tournaments, and Southgate has done well in these tournaments. So for sure, England. My second place, I have to go with USA. There's no other doubt about it. I have been hearing a lot of noise about Iran. Obviously, they're the best team in Asia. They won their Confederations Cup of Asia about a couple years ago. So I would say the U.S. Wales, you're right about Gareth Bale. He did score that winning goal in the MLS Cup final. kind of random, wasn't it?
The most prestigious league in the world. You know, he just goes in there and scores the goal to take it to overtime, and I don't know. It's just like I said, he's gonna do what he does, and then probably go and play golf for like 2 months straight after, because he's banned from playing golf for the duration of the World Cup from Wales. Wales banned him from playing golf.
Yeah, that's something. And obviously, you're a Real Madrid fan, so he also towards his last couple of years, right? He didn't really play much, but he would score some random goals.
Yeah, whenever he got some minutes, he would, you know, do his thing. But I'm glad he's out of there. That's for sure.
Which I want to get to Hazard a little bit later, but we'll get to the Belgian group, because apparently he's going to be a star there. Anyways, Group C, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Francisco's team, and Poland. Argentina, obviously, everyone's buzzing. I've been hearing Argentina or Brazil all week to win the World Cup.
Yep.
Saudi Arabia, not much hope. And, of course, Mexico with Tata. Some people were complaining about his squad is not strong enough. I think he was missing a player or two. I've been hearing some criticism on that. And Poland, they have Lewandowski and some good players there, here and there. They have a history. But Francisco, who are your top two teams coming out of Group C?
Well, for Group C, easy. Argentina, Mexico. Argentina obviously is going to be first. They just have such a deep squad, and attacking wise, I mean, Messi to start with, right? lots of goals. Lautaro Martinez, like, just really, really good squad. And I think that their form going into it also just speaks for itself. So there's no question about Argentina first. Mexico second, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard fight for them. It's not going to be an easy – if anything, maybe the Saudi Arabia game is an easy 3 points. But even then, anybody who's bigger physically in size compared to Mexico usually – can do well as far as even just defending, keeping it 0-0. Mexico really struggles with teams that are bigger than them, which is that's a pretty good majority of teams in the World Cup. There's not a lot of teams that are bigger, or teams that are bigger are more frequent than players that are smaller. Like, you know, maybe some Asian teams could compare in size to the Mexican players. But yeah, Poland for sure. Like, compared to Mexico, these guys are skyscrapers. And, you know, the tallest guy on Mexico, I believe, is 6'3". Montes, he's a center back. And he's pretty young, and I don't know if he's going to be starting. He did play in the game against Sweden, which I think that's kind of smart by Tata Martino. He's kind of changing up the squad depending on who he's playing against, and not just trying to implement, you know, his game and win the way that he's always tried to win, which that's kind of what he's been getting criticized a lot about, which is that he doesn't change anything. He's been trying to win the same way, and that's why we didn't beat Mexico or U.S., Canada, like, just made a mockery of Mexico and the whole, you know, dominance of CONCACAF for the last 10, 15 years. As far as, you know, who the players that he picked, I don't like some of the players that Tata Martino picked. I think he picked favorites. I don't think he picked the best team that he could possibly take, especially considering form. Took a lot of players that are injured or have not been playing. Raul Jimenez, like, I understand that he, regardless of the head injury, like, he's had a different injury that's been keeping him out of the game. So, like, just trying to have him play, and he hasn't been regular. He hasn't been regularly starting with Wolves in the Premier League. I just don't think that calls for, you know, a spot. I think it's just every spot is so valuable. You only got 26 players to pick from of a pool of, you know, thousands of players. Like I said, I'm not gonna. I could go through many, many things of like what I don't like. With Tata Martino, I just think, you know, get us a result, you know, making it through the group. I think that'll be a successful World Cup for Mexico. And I'm just looking forward to the future of Mexico without Tata Martino, because I don't think we're going to get to the quinto or the sexto partido if we don't have someone else. I don't see it in him. There's no fight or drive. It just kind of look like he's happy and complacent with his job, which I think that's how he's looking at it now. It's just his job.
As Francisco mentioned, el quinto partido, meaning the fifth game that Mexico has not been able to get out of the round of 16, haven't been in the quarterfinals for I think since 1986, I believe. So, and I've been hearing this roster, Francisco, there's no player under 23.
Oh, yeah. That's another – here, I got the – the stat, the average age of the Mexico squad, 28.3. And wow. Yeah, there's no under 23s, which to me, that just, like, that would be a slap in the face if I was anybody, you know, 23 or younger. It doesn't really give them hope, I feel like. And, like, you know, Germany, for example, they took a 17-year-old forward. Like, come on. We couldn't take one player that's 18, 19. We've got Santi Jimenez, who's currently the top scorer in the Europa League, playing for Feyenoord. Like, you couldn't take him. He's 19. And plus, he already was killing it in Liga MX before he moved out to Europe. I just think that we could have done a little bit more with the youth, especially because Mexico and then the history of their players that are – a little bit older and come to the World Cup usually don't start a lot. And, you know, it's usually kind of like, hey, well, it's my farewell tour, you know, my last World Cup. I'm not going to play here anymore. I mean, Rafa Márquez, even in his last World Cup, I don't think he was playing that much. So Like, you know, the goalkeepers, look at we've got a 40-year-old, a 37-year-old, and a 35-year-old goalie, which obviously goalkeepers get better as they get older. So that's not too much of a knock, but it's like, dude, did we really need Talavera, who's 40 years old? You know, like, we could have put Acevedo
floating around with Ochoa with the belly.
Too many tacos.
He's like, did you see that?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, like, he is expected to start, right? Or is he?
Oh yeah, he's gonna start for sure.
Memo Ochoa, wow. Yes. So this roster is not the best. There's no player under 23 that maybe, hey, gain some experience in the bench while and waiting for 2026 World Cup, which they're automatically qualified for. So this Mexico squad, you would rate it what, between an A through an F, A, B, C, D, or F? How would you rate it? What grade would you give it?
It's probably in between a C plus, almost a B minus, but C plus, 79.99%.
But to give some optimism, Mexico leading up to the World Cup are not that good, but when they're in the World Cup, they just switch, they click. So we'll see if this happens again. I'm gonna pick Argentina, Poland. Getting out of the group, I think Poland has a good squad.
How dare you? I thought you were going to pick Mexico, even though I picked the U.S.
Yeah, you're going to pick Wales, right? Right. Marcelo Bielsa, he's actually a consultant for Poland. So he gave like a lecture to the Polish players. Not sure that's going to help him. But
no, it'll probably help him. But it was probably like in and out. Like, what is this guy even talking about?
Yeah. So obviously, he knows Tata Martino. Poland, of course, had some World Cup history in the past. Which game have you heard that Mexico Lee? I mean, obviously, yes, you want to get a result for every game, but which game will be key for Mexico in this group?
Key game, first one against Poland. That's my key game. I think if even if it's just 1 point, I think that'll be enough because of the four, and then that'll give them a little bit of hope. You know, it's depending on how Argentina – I'm just hoping Argentina kills Poland and Saudi Arabia in both of their matches. That'll be best case scenario for Mexico.
Yeah, tough group. Argentina, is this the best Argentina team you've seen?
No. Best Argentina team
Messi, with Messi.
No. Best Argentina team I've ever seen. Oh, yeah. I guess with Messi – I would say 2018 was probably a little better, but definitely not the best of Argentina. Maradona is in the best team of Argentina.
Oh yeah, 86 team was fantastic. But this team, of course, with De Paul and Di Maria, there's a lot of good. Like they've been, I believe, in a 36 game winning streak. They won the Copa America and they won the Finalissimo, which is it's kind of debated if it's counted as an international trophy. Some say it is. So this might be the good chance for Argentina to win the World Cup. Messi's last dance, because this could be his last World Cup, most likely. Let's go into Group D, Francisco. France, Australia, Denmark, and Tunisia. France had a few knocks, no Pogba, no Kante. Australia, Socceroos usually don't do well. I think they made it out of made it to the round 16 last time. Denmark, of course, has a few players, Kasper Schmeichel, and then of course got Tunisia, another African team. Who is your top two to get out of this group?
For this group, Group D, I went with France in first, and then Denmark second. Obviously, France, no question, they're going to make it. And then Denmark. It'll be an easy ride for them. Australia, I feel like, doesn't really have a lot of fight in the game. A lot of their players play domestic in their own leagues, so I feel like that kind of hurts them a lot. They don't have a lot of players in Europe or other leagues that are more prestigious. So I think that's what's going to hurt them. Tunisia as well. Just not a lot of players that, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to make the difference. And same with Australia. They just don't have difference makers, I feel like. And so it'll be an easy qualification round for France and Denmark.
France has two key Real Madrid players there, Tchouaméni and Benzema. Benzema was just allowed to the team about a year ago after the whole scandal. He won the Ballon d'Or a few weeks ago. He hasn't. I heard he's been kind of knocked up this season for Madrid. Tell us about these two players, Tchouaméni and Benzema. Do you think they can make a difference for France?
Definitely. Obviously, Benzema, we know what we can do. So I don't really need to talk about him. But yeah, there has been a little bit of injury worries with Benzema, but I think that's why he hasn't been playing with Real Madrid, was because they were trying to have him be healthy and fit for the World Cup, which is, you know, nice of Madrid to do that. Ancelotti has been kind of giving a lot more playing time to Tchouaméni, which I really like the way that he plays. He's left-footed, and he's always able to dribble out of the back and pass and be calm and collected. The complete opposite of Casemiro, who was just, you know, reckless and, you know, could get a red card at every tackle possible that he committed. So I do like the change here of the young French player. And I think he can make a big difference, especially with Kante being out. And, you know, I think that'll be a possibility for him to get some rotation time. I mean, he's super young, so maybe he won't get as much play time as we would want as some of the more mature French, you know, center mids that they have. But I feel like if he does get time, he's just going to shine like he does at Madrid. The first minute that, you know, he played at the beginning of the season, like, you knew that this guy was, you know, talented. And almost like when I'm not comparing him like to Pogba, but I feel like that's kind of, he's getting that hype, you know, that Pogba was getting about, like, dang, this guy is like really good.
And if you play for Madrid, there's no doubt that you're good. Definitely one of the best best clubs in the world, of course, with Benzema. Now, are you a believer that France will fall into that incumbent curse where the world champion, the defending champions, usually bow out early or they choke? What are your thoughts over this time? Or France could break that curse?
I feel like they definitely have the potential to break the curse because, you know, if they make it through, they in my bracket, we would play Mexico, and then after that, it would be England. So I feel like they have a good shot making it all the way to the semis, which I think the curse is that they don't make it out of the group stage, or the curse they don't win it
or they don't repeat. Because I remember in 06, Brazil made it to the quarters, but they lost against France, and then Spain didn't get out of the group in 2014. 2010, France bowed out in the group. 2018, Germany bowed out of the group after winning 14. So okay. I guess it's a group thing. I don't know if they include Brazil in that pool back in 06. Because they did good. Making it to the quarterfinals is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely think they have a good shot of making it to the semis and possibly the final, depending on who their opponent is in the semis. I mean, you can't count them out, that's for sure. I definitely think that they have that shot of breaking the curse and possibly doing back-to-back.
And Z will take care of business. Group E, Spain or España, Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan. Spain is taking a young team, Enrique. A couple of Barcelona players there. And then, of course, Costa Rica out of the CONCACAF. Germany, a young Germany with Havertz, and then, of course, Japan, very athletic. Francisco, who are the two teams that will get out of Group E?
So, for me, it'll be Germany first, Spain second. As far as Germany and Spain and them matching up against Japan and Costa Rica, there's no competition there. Germany is going to totally whoop Japan and Costa Rica, same as Spain. So it's just going to be a battle of, you know, between them two, see who gets first and second. I do disagree with a lot of the way that Luis Enrique has been managing Spain. I don't like the players that he picks. I feel like he's got a lot of personal vendettas, and, you know, him being a Barcelona manager and all that, I think he's super biased and has basically picked a majority of Barcelona players. And since I'm biased, you know, I don't see that as because of, you know, me being a fan of Madrid. I find that disrespectful if he's doing it for that reason. Like, if they're actually the better players, then, you know, by all means do it. But I just don't like him as a manager. I don't think he's had very many successful, you know, stints at teams managing. So regardless of all that being very negative about Spain, I do think overall, though, that they have the talent, and that's what's going to carry them out, regardless of who their manager is. But that doesn't fare too well going into the knockout stage. Obviously, you all, not only do you need a good team, you need a good manager to lead you through to those rounds with, you know, playing against difficult teams. You need, you know, strategies, you need different formations, you need different plans of attack. And I just don't think Luis Enrique is good at any of that. So that's why I have Germany first over Spain, because when it comes to Germany, Spain, I when they face each other, I think Germany is also going to just run circles around them.
The only player that Luis Enrique is taking from Real Madrid is Daniel Carvajal. Your thoughts?
See, he's very biased. If you thought I was biased, he is. There's something. Somebody did something to him.
Right? Where's Sergio Ramos?
Yeah, not even Ramos. Like, nothing. And is Piqué in there? I bet you Piqué's in there.
No, Piqué retired, actually, a few weeks ago.
Well, I know he retired, yeah, but maybe that's why he retired. It was like, oh, I'm not even going to the World Cup.
I heard that he had couldn't play because he was fighting for custody for his kids because he's separating from Shakira. So he had to quit football to focus on his family.
Well, I mean, it's too late now. You already lost your family.
But then I've been hearing he might be the future Barcelona president.
Yeah, I also heard that he's already got his new lady moving into his house. So who knows what he was doing in his private life. I mean, come on, dude. How are you going to do that to Shakira? That's messed up.
First league is – oh, yeah, exactly. First league from Twitch. Where you guys watching the game? I'll be going to my local pub for the U.S. games at least. The other games, who knows? Francisco, where will you be watching the games?
Probably home, more than likely. Probably some, you know, a bar or two, depending on – I'm on the West Coast, so games are going to be a little bit earlier for me.
Oh, big time. So,
more, yeah, morning time.
5 a.m. games will be at 2 in the morning for you guys.
Yep, yep. Crap. That's the earliest for us, 2 a.m. I think there's a 2 a.m., 5, and 7 and 9, something like that.
Wow, yeah, you definitely have
I think the latest one is 9 a.m.
Yeah, ours is 2 p.m., the latest.
Yeah, so it's well, not – but also, if you do need to know where to watch the games, TUDN is the official Spanish content broadcaster of the World Cup. So majority of the games are going to be on there if you have access to TUDN.
So you will not be watching it on Fox?
Nope, not on Fox.
Okay. Okay, no Lexi Lawless, pro U.S. men's national team broadcast. Okay, I forgot to get my predictions for Group D. It's going to be France and Denmark. Group B, Zisco had Germany and Spain. I'll have the same. Spain first, Germany.
Spain first.
Yeah, I'm going with Spain first. I think Spain team has speed. Germany has some good players, Havertz and whatnot. No Toni Kroos.
No Toni Kroos. They did it to him.
Yeah, but he retired internationally a couple years ago. Of course, they had Rudiger from Real Madrid. They got Thomas Mueller. Mario Götze is back. 8-year hiatus. Can you believe that?
Yeah, but, I mean, is he going to play? I feel like he's probably not going to play.
It's going to bring a veteran experience in the bench.
Especially with Kai Havertz playing in the position that he basically plays in
Yes. now. Of course, you got Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané, and some other great players in this German squad. Always a contender, Germany. Let's go into Group F, Francisco. Belgium, overweight Havertz is in the team. Canada, first appearance since 1986. And guess what happened? Nike did not produce a new jersey. They didn't have time for some reason. Then you got Morocco, and then you got Croatia that made it to the final four, but they lost in the final against France. It looks tough, but who's your top two in Group F?
Top two, I'm going to go Belgium first, Croatia second, and Canada probably third. I don't see much from Morocco. But, yeah, it'll be a nice little, you know, welcome back trip to Canada to the World Cup. But it's not going to last very long. Three games, and they're flying back home to the cold.
Belgium, of course, that golden generation will probably see the see them again for one more time. Of course, Lukaku is in Italy right now. Havertz is back in the squad. Do you see him starting?
Wait, Havertz?
Yeah. No, sorry. Eden Hazard. Yes.
No. I see his brother starting before he goes in at any game.
Thorgan anything, Hazard, yeah.
If anything, he'll go in as his, the reliever, the fifth sub. Hey, we're already up 5-0. Yeah, get in there and get some minutes. Get your applause.
And of course, the young star, Leandro Trossard, he's been doing fantastic for Brighton. So I expect him to play. Don't know about starting. Kevin De Bruyne, obviously a star at Man City. Dries Mertens, playing for Galatasaray, probably in his final years with Belgium. And, of course, you got Yuri Tillmans for Leicester. Alex Witzel, who plays for Madrid. Atletico Madrid will be in the squad. And, of course, Rintangen, who plays for Anderlecht, probably last World Cup as well. Your thoughts on this Belgium team, Francisco? Is this the last of their golden generation, or they're still going to pump out some players?
Well, this generation, I definitely think there's some players that will probably won't be here for the next World Cup. But I think they'll be pumping players out left and right. So I'm not worried about when those players do leave. I do think with the way that De Bruyne has been playing at Man City and how much better he's been getting somehow, if that's even possible. I think that will be the focal point for their, you know, team going forward in attack. And for me, that's possibly the best number 10 or, you know, floater that you could have behind a striker. So, you know, if I'm seeing De Bruyne behind me in the World Cup, I'm going to do whatever I can to score goals and get set up by him. So I just think that they have probably the most organized team, the best players as a squad and their strength. I just feel like they're up there with Argentina, like fighting for the as favorites to win the whole thing.
Yes,
just overall how good of a squad that they have.
And we'll see Francisco's bracket a little bit later in the show and see how deep they have it. Let's go into group. Also, my prediction is the same as Francisco, Belgium, and Croatia. The Croatian squad, a little old. Don't think they'll go all the way to the end, don't you think?
Yeah, a little old. I think in the first round, they'll make it to the first round of the knockout stage, and that's as far as they'll go.
And their checkered jersey, and of course, Modric, one of the Madrid superstars, year by year with Madrid. So we'll see what happens there. Group G, almighty Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon. Switzerland's an interesting squad. They beat out France in the Euros last year. Then, of course, you got almighty Brazil, solid squad. You got Martinelli from Arsenal, which was a unusual pick. No Bobby Firmino, but Brazil's Brazil. They're loaded. They're deep. Francisco, your thoughts, and who will make it out of the group?
So for Group G, I'm going with Brazil and Switzerland. Obviously, Brazil being one of the favorites to win everything. Also very deep and talented squad from in every position, starting from the goalie all the way up to the forwards. They have, like, you could go to their third string, their fourth string. Like, he's a starter, you know, in any team. So it's a nightmare, I feel like, for their manager to pick a starting 11. But obviously, they do have a good set squad. And so they're going to dominate that group, no problem. I don't think anybody's going to give them a fight. You know, it'll be a tough battle with Switzerland and Serbia, because I think they'll be leaning into the physical side of the game as far as, like, kicking Brazil players, because, you know, they know Neymar. They know that they have – that's what the Brazilian players are known for, diving and trying to psych out the ref or pretend like they're getting fouled and whatnot to try to get cards and all that. So I think that those games will be a tough fight for Brazil, but – by the time that those teams start kicking Brazil, I feel like it's already going to be too late. They're already going to be up two or three goals. And then for Switzerland, I feel like they just don't have like Serbia and Cameroon are not really going to give them a fight for that second spot. So that's mainly the reason why I picked them. But like you said, them beating France in the Euros, I feel like that's a good kind of base for them to start. Like, you can't consider them like a small team or a team that isn't, you know, successful again in the international sense. I feel like they have been successful, and their team consists of players that are playing in top leagues. So they'll make it through, but they'll in that first round of knockout stage, they'll probably be out.
Yeah, Switzerland has Shaqiri and Chaka from Arsenal. Well, Granit Xhaka is from Arsenal. Shaqiri is playing for the Chicago Fire. For Brazil, let me go back to Brazil. Would you have picked Richarlison over Bobby Firmino?
Ooh. Well, to me, I see them as two different types of players. Although Richarlison tends to play up top, I feel like he would be more effective playing on the left side, like as a forward winger. What I picked, I feel like Firmino gets a lot of he gets right now, because he hasn't been getting minutes, as many minutes with Liverpool. I feel like that's kind of why he's been kind of been counted out. But I do think he's really good and talented, and regardless of, you know, who you pick, it's going to give you two different approaches. But I would have gone with Richarlison, just because of the speed and that factor. I think other players can give you the same thing that Firmino can give you.
And as Francisco mentioned before, you could put your third string squad for Brazil. I'm still trying to phase out from the NFL here into the World Cup, use your third string squad with Brazil and still have a great team. So a lot of picks. Martinelli, another surprise for Brazil, doing well for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus, man, I would love to start Gabriel Jesus, but we'll see what happens. But this Brazil squad is very talented, composed, and we'll see how deep they can go in this World Cup, which we'll find out if Francisco has them. I have Brazil and Switzerland. Switzerland had a fantastic performance last year in the Euros, and Serbia, new team, looking at their squad, a lot of them play one for Mitrovic from Fulham plays for Serbia, but he's not 100% healthy. He's one of the key players in that one. Of course, Luka Jovic from Fiorentina, a lot of players playing Italy from the Serbian squad, and so young team. They haven't got too much into the World Cup, so not much experience. That's why I'm gonna give it to Switzerland and Brazil. You think Brazil might sweep the whole group? Like, they'll get all 9 points?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Group. I mean, they're going to get beat up and kicked and whatnot on the way there, but definitely going to win all 3 points, all three games.
Let's see what happens. Group H, when I first saw the draw last couple months ago in June, I thought this was going to be the group of death, which is Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea. Portugal, of course, a lot of drama with Cristiano Ronaldo giving the interview with Piers Morgan, talking crap about Man United pretty much. And Man United, I believe what I've heard today, they're going to cut this contract and he'll be a free agent. Maybe during the World Cup, he'll find out. And, of course, Ghana, not the Ghana of old that gave trouble to the U.S. And Uruguay, they got not a whole lot of new players. Darwin Nunes, Bentancur, of course. And, of course, you're still relying on the old players, Luis Suarez and Cavani. So we'll see what happens. Korea, very athletic. Now thinking about it, not much of a group of death because Ghana's not as good as before. South Korea could give trouble, but Francisco, who are your top two coming out of this group?
The last group, I went with Portugal on top, number one, and Uruguay in two. So for me, I could kind of see how this could have been, like you were saying, a group of death at first, but then after kind of thinking about it, I immediately knew Portugal and Uruguay were going to be the ones going through. South Korea, I think they do have a lot of promising talent, and obviously Sun from Spurs, that's going to be their leading point of attack. You know, he fractured his jaw or something like a month ago, and he's going to be ready to go for this. So I think that might affect them a little bit form wise, you know, as far as keeping in form as far as physically, but I feel like his way of playing and all that, that's not going to be affected. But regardless, I think Portugal and Uruguay and possibly even Ghana, I think defensively they'll be able to shut down the only point of attack, which I feel like is Sun. Like, it'll be pretty easy to figure out, okay, what's their strategy? Give it to this guy. Okay. I don't really see Ghana either as given that much of a fight. Big physical squad, but that's about probably their only positive trait, I feel like, going into the World Cup. And then obviously Portugal with the depth in their squad and the pool of players that they have to pick from, they're almost kind of like Brazil to me. Like, they could put in their second, third string squad and still put up like really good players. Obviously all the stuff that's happening with Ronaldo, I feel like that at the international level, it's not going to affect anybody. Like, I don't think any of the Portuguese players care because they have been with Ronaldo in the locker room. They know him. They've talked to him. They can talk to him there at the camp. If they have questions about like why he said what he said or why he's doing what he's doing, like, because we'll never get that. We'll never get to ask Ronaldo like, hey, on a personal level, like, why'd you do this? And then get to hear it from, you know, him directly. I just think that kind of relationship with the players allows for them to like talk about it and then get over it and be like, all right, this isn't going to affect us going into this, because this isn't Manchester United. This isn't this team. This isn't, you know, nothing that Ronaldo has been doing is affecting Portugal or is going to affect them. Like, yeah, this all has to do with Man United and the Glazers. So I don't think that's going to affect anybody. I know the media has been trying to kind of like stir things up with him and, Bruno Fernandes. So I don't think that they'll have any problems. And I put Portugal all the way through to the final. So I look forward to seeing their games and seeing Ronaldo play his final World Cup.
Final World Cup. And he said if he wins the World Cup with Portugal, he will retire completely from football. Yep. Do you believe that?
I heard that too. That would be a nice send off. I also read that with the way that the groups are lined up, it could be an Argentina Portugal final depending on how things line up.
Which we'll get to that soon. I got Portugal, Uruguay getting out of the group. I think those two could be interchangeable. Uruguay could come out first and then Portugal. So I'm gonna put Uruguay first, just to say that. But yeah, do you think Ronaldo is out of Man United?
Oh, definitely. I think that's definitely what they're working on. When they made that statement earlier today, Man United did. I think that's definitely what they're working on. Cutting the contract. Obviously, Man United wants to get out of it without a penalty or not having to pay Ronaldo in any way, shape, or form. I think they're trying to argue that it's a breach of contract of some sort.
And I guess he might be going maybe to. Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. You went out for a bit, but now you're back.
What was I saying? So I just think that it's a petty move to try to get him out of the contract in that way. So kind of like they're going back and reading all the little conditions, you know, that nobody reads, and it's like, all right, whatever. I'm here at Man United. I'm going to sign. So I think they're just trying to get away without having to pay Ronaldo anything. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to have to pay him some kind of money for cutting the contract, ripping it up, whatever they want to do with it. But yeah, I think he's out of there. And if he doesn't win the World Cup and retires, then he's going to be looking for a new team,
which will be
the winter. I honestly haven't thought about that too much. I think if he can go to France and, you know, break some records there, so that way he has a record in all the five leagues. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad call.
Not a bad thought. Not a bad thought. I did not think about France. I was thinking more of Sporting Lisbon, and he's building a big house there. But, you know, he could always go to another team and then go back to Portugal. But he does want to play in the Champions League team. So we'll see. Maybe a team like Marseille, you know, that can make it if they're on the Champions League. I am so Champions League out right now, but we'll talk about that later, about Ronaldo's future. All right, let's go into the second round. We're not going to go through all the whole bracket, but who is in your final four, Francisco? Who makes it to the finale and who wins it?
The final four, the semifinals?
Yeah.
So I got in the first bracket, Netherlands, Germany. And then I have the other bracket, France, Portugal. And then I have a Germany-Portugal final.
Another European final.
Yep. And I'm back and forth with, you know, who is going to win it. I obviously want Portugal to win it because of Ronaldo. But if it does come to a Germany-Portugal, I think that's going to be a hard fight for Portugal. And possibly Germany has the upper hand for me right now. So I'm going to go with Germany, though. If I had to bet on it, money. Yeah, Germany to win it all the way.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I actually have Germany going to the finale. I'll show you my bracket here and show it on the video if you guys are watching it and if you listen to the podcast. I got in the semifinal, one side Germany versus England, and then I got the other side Argentina Brazil, and then Germany faces Argentina for the finale, and Argentina wins it. So there will be the first South American country to win it since 2002.
Since 2002,
20 years ago.
Oh, is that the bracket that you were talking about?
This is the bracket that I have listed. Brought to you by FOTMOB. So I got, if you see it, Germany, England makes it to the semifinal, and then Argentina, Brazil at the other side. Then Argentina, Germany in the final, and then Argentina wins it. Your thoughts on that bracket that I have?
I could definitely see Germany in the final for sure, just like I have them. For me, Argentina isn't as big of a favorite as everybody else. But I like the bracket. I've got Germany beating Brazil early on, so that's why Brazil doesn't make it too far in my bracket.
Yeah, Brazil. I got Brazil beating Portugal. I think that makes a difference for you. And then Brazil beats Spain, and then go and then they lose against Argentina. That's a tough bracket looking at it right now. Argentina, they beat France, which it could be debatable. It could go either or. Then they beat Netherlands. Then they beat Brazil. So that side of the bracket is pretty tough. The other side looks also as tough. Germany beating Belgium. And then I got Uruguay beating Switzerland. Germany beats Uruguay. Germany beats England. And then England beats Qatar. I have Qatar in this bracket making it out for some reason. This was done about a week ago, so it's a little different from today. And I got Poland, Denmark, Poland to the quarters. England beats Poland, and then England, Germany, then Germany to the final, and then they beat Argentina. So that's our prediction. I got Argentina winning, and Francisco has Germany winning.
Yep, Germany, the superior race. quoted by the ex-Argentinian president. Did you see that interview?
I did not. When did he say that?
It was like recent, within the last 3 or 4 days. But I don't think he meant it like that, you know, like superior race. Because if you put superior race and Germany in the same sentence, everyone's going to think the same thing, you know?
Yeah, everyone's going to connect the dots there.
I think he just meant like they're just superior because of their history. Is, you know, in the World Cup, they've always been successful. And then just their size of the players and just overall, you know, how they are. I don't think he meant it in that way. But it was still funny. It was trending on Reddit for a little good while.
There you have it. A lot of controversy going on for the beer, Germany, and everything else. Argentina,
Ronaldo,
Ronaldo. The drama continues. The first match is this Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Qatar versus Ecuador. I got Ecuador winning. I guess Francisco has Ecuador winning.
Oh yeah, Ecuador with the win.
There you have it. Francisco, will you be watching the Rivals movie, which is about USA versus Mexico rivalry, on Amazon Prime, which comes out next week, November 24th?
I actually didn't even know that was going to drop, but now that I do, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. Another series that would be good to watch is the new Netflix on FIFA and Sepp Blatter.
FIFA Uncovered. I watched it last week. I thought it was really well done. Surprised. Well, not surprised, because I knew almost everything, but yeah, they were interviewing the FIFA, more of the FIFA members, but it's definitely eye-opening. What was your thoughts over the movie?
Yeah, I definitely think that there was a lot of people who got paid to say the things that they were saying, especially from Qatar's end. I thought none of those guys were genuine. Obviously, you can't take anything that Sepp Blatter was saying as truth. I just feel like everyone was kind of like, hey, this is what everybody was doing, so can you really blame us? Like, everyone was taking money. But yeah, it was just nice to see, and not nice, but it was good to see it in a film movie format, documentary series, where everything is explained, names, you know, what they did, and just breaks everything down. I'm still actually, I haven't finished it. I'm on, just finished the third episode. So I got the last one to go where everything comes out. But yeah, we already knew most of what was going on. And so I just feel like them trying to kind of make them the case for themselves to be like, I'm innocent, or look, this isn't what I was trying to do, but that's just what ended up happening. I was bribed, you know, in this way, shape, or form. But also was pretty surprised about how blatant FIFA was about the bribes. Like, literally just, here's an envelope with money. It's like, you didn't think that someone was going to say anything about that? What is this for?
Yeah, it was very common. They didn't care. Very common in their work culture. That's what I got out of it. They started the movie with Joao Havelange, which was the previous FIFA president before Sepp Blatter, and they didn't cover the early parts. It might have happened as well with the previous presidents, but it's a well-made commentary. It really deciphers the FIFA operation and system. Now we got a new president, Infantino, so we'll see how the new regime, which had been operating for the past 6 years already, so far, well, they haven't done well with the whole Qatar beer thing, but they might just blame it on Sepp Blatter.
Once Qatar's over, it'll kind of let them call the next shots, which they kind of already have been, right, with the next World Cup in Mexico, Canada, and U.S. But we'll see after that what kind of shenanigans happen or not.
Yeah, we'll see. I would like to see some term limits for a FIFA president, like 8 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 12 max, but I think 8 years just to move it around a little bit, because you get comfortable too much in your power and you just don't know it. You get like a bunch of tunnel vision stuff and you don't know that a bribe is bad.
But right, anyway. Right.
So today was the start of our World Cup coverage. All throughout the month of November and December, we'll be having Francisco back again with Hal Phillips, Jaime Fernandez, Asa Smith. Each one will be on individual days. And then towards the end of the tournament, we'll have a big show to discuss what happened and who's going to win it all. So looking forward to it next week, next Monday. We start off with Asa, then Wednesday with Hal and Jaime, and then Francisco every Friday. So if you'd like to see Francisco, come every Friday around 1 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be covering the World Cup, recapping and analyzing what's happening. Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online?
Best way to reach me is my Twitter, and that is at FranciscoBCP. I will try to be more on Twitter now that, you know, we actually have freedom of speech on there.
Amen to that.
So, yeah, catch me on there. I have other social medias, but Twitter's the best.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, the website, or thesportscast1. On Twitter and Instagram, and throughout the week, throughout the month, the half of November and the other half of December will be all World Cup coverage. I'll be solely focused on that. No NFL, no college football. I'm doing all World Cup once every 4 years, and I cannot think of anyone else to do it on a Friday but Francisco Flores.
Yeah, it was a pleasure being here. I have a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to discussing the World Cup as it's going on, and yeah, excited for the games, and hopefully the people in that are over there for the game can stay hydrated. Doesn't sound like you're going to be able to drink beer to stay hydrated, so drink a lot of water.
Drink lots of water. That's still legal everywhere in the world and in Qatar. Francisco, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And this was your update.